The Mad Tech Podcast, news of the week in ad tech and marketing tech, brought to you by ExchangeWire.
Hello and welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast. I'm Hannah Dillon, staff writer at ExchangeWire, and this week I'm delighted to be joined by ExchangeWire CSO and hang sandwich enthusiast, Kieran O'Kane. Hi Kieran, how are you?
I do like hang sandwiches. Hello,
Hannah, how are you? All good. Thanks for joining. Also on the podcast this week is ExchangeWire Head of Content and a staunch defender of the Bounty Bar. He's still John. It's John Still. Hi, John.
Thank you very much for having me. And yes, everyone who does not like bounties is wrong. And I will die on that hill.
You'll die on that hill alone because you're the only person who thinks that.
I like bounties as well. They're great.
Oh, don't yes. You start. They're atrocious. They're appalling. And that's
what
the
are you talking
the
about? They're the taste of paradise. Everybody knows that.
That's the taste of paradise. Don't want it.
Other coconut-based chocolate bars are available.
Well,
but they're not as good.
Bounty differences aside, I'm still very grateful you've joined us on the podcast this week. So our first story, which is that Apple and Google have joined forces to submit a proposed industry specification to tackle unwanted tracking. The specification introduces unauthorized tracking detection and alerts capabilities across iOS and Android platforms for Bluetooth-compatible devices, and will include instructions and best practice advice for manufacturers who choose to integrate them. The tech giants reportedly used input from a range of safety and advocacy groups, as well as from device makers, to shape the specification. The draft has been submitted to the Internet Engineering Task Force and is open to comment for the next 3 months. So I'll come to you first on this, John. How significant is it that Google and Apple have partnered on this proposal?
It seems like a big step. I know they seem to be, you know, often placed in opposition, Google and Apple, but to come together for something that has, yeah, this much use and this much necessity, I think, given the tracking tools that they've created between them, I think seeing them join together and take joint action is actually a really good step and really encouraging that they've identified that there is a problem and are happy to put aside rivalries, differences, and do something that will ultimately be quite helpful and quite meaningful to a lot of people if used properly.
Sure. Kieran, what do you think?
I've never seen this before. I think this is all, a lot of this is sort of related to stuff like, was it AirTags? Is that the product that the Apple were using, which has been sort of like misused by abusive partners and sort of controlling sort of freakeries. Look, it's a good sort of step to protecting people around some of this technology, and obviously they're the two biggest operating systems in the mobile world. So, but I wonder if there's anything that could relate back to ad tech in a way that could these two companies sort of this partnership, this agreement to work together on a sort of code of conduct and technology regulatory sort of piece could it be extended to online privacy, tracking and measurement? I mean, could this be the start of something beautiful in the terms of the two biggest browser manufacturers actually working together on a sort of an industry-wide solution for third-party cookies or IDs, that could be sort of a forebearer of things to come, which could be interesting. I'm not sure if this extent. I'm sure that ad tech do use some of these signals in building, particularly fingerprinting. It's probably involved in this somewhere along the line. So maybe that has an effect in the short term, but maybe in the long term, there is sort of a coming together of the industry, which is great. I think this is great. Maybe this is not the Google ad business. It's actually the Google engineering team and the Android operating system. So maybe it's a false dawn. I've just kind of gone 360 degrees or 180 myself, not 360 because I just started at the same place, but I've gone 180 there. Maybe it is a false dawn in that sense, because once the ads teams get involved, they kind of like muddy the waters. But this is it's an interesting sort of coming together of the two behemoths in the space.
Sure. Staying with you, Kieran, in terms of the potential impact on the ad tech industry, could you foresee this partnership impacting geolocation-based ad targeting?
There's a good possibility that could happen, hey? I mean, I think geolocation was sort of poo-pooed a little bit in terms of like its privacy problems, because you know, who wants to be sort of used or targeted in real time by a third party ad tech company? So I could see it becoming an issue, yeah, for definitely for geolocation. I wonder how this affects the likes of Uber and a few others who sort of have that built into their specific, but I don't think it, they're not targeting people in real time. I mean, they're using it as a utility for the app, so it has any application. But third parties that are using it as a means to sort of like target users, yeah, for sure, I think that's going to be snuffed out by the looks of it. I think it has like maybe some second order effects. First order, obviously, is addressing some of this technology that Apple and Google have built as utility, like for tagging items, property, etc. But second order effect, for sure, I think it might affect ad tech in the sense that certain signals will not be available for building sort of like profiles of users and or around targeting. So yeah, I think it definitely will have some knock on effects for ad tech for sure.
Sure, John, any thoughts on this? Do you think there could be an impact on geolocation based ad targeting?
In the sense of it maybe being the start of a more open relationship between Google and Apple in terms of how they work together, then that could lead and have knock-on effects for the ad tech industry. I know, you know, Apple have built themselves recently on being the privacy guys, and whether that, you know, for whatever means. But yeah, if that lends itself to working, yeah, more closely with other companies, specifically rivals like Google, then that's an interesting step that could have a knock-on effect for the ad industry. And yeah, also positive to see them working together to correct something. I don't think in the process of developing the AirTags and such stuff they ever, yeah, imagined it being used for what it's ended up being used for. It's fairly horrifying cases you can read about, you know, by people, you know, it's horrible. And it's good to see that the National Network to End Domestic Violence has seen this as a good step from Apple and Google as well. The AirTags have been used for nefarious purposes, misused, and yeah, good to see that the two brands will reconcile to help. So yeah, hope it's the start of something. But yeah, good to see action being taken around this.
Sure. Cool. I will take us on to our second story of the week, which is that the UK's Competition and Markets Authority has blocked Microsoft from acquiring games publisher Activision Blizzard. The watchdog, which estimates that Microsoft already controls 60 to 70% of worldwide cloud gaming services, ruled that the deal could potentially alter the future of the fast-growing cloud gaming market, leading to reduced innovation and less choice for UK gamers over the years to come. Microsoft attempted to assuage concerns by forming deals with Boosteroid, Ubisoft, and Nvidia to make their games available on competing cloud services. However, the regulator was not convinced and concluded that the deals do not sufficiently protect or promote competition. Microsoft and Activision have both said that they will appeal the ruling, which the latter criticized as contradicting the ambitions of the UK to become an attractive country to build technology businesses. I'll come to you first on this, John. Are you surprised by the CMA's decision at all?
Yes, I am actually. Yeah, I thought that it would, you know, there was some CMA saber rattling about it, but I thought that ultimately it would be allowed to pass, and a bit taken aback when it didn't. I know there's, you know, an awful lot of analysis has gone into the decision. I think, you know, over 3 million documents between Microsoft and Activision have been looked at. And no, I was very interested that they've come up with the response that they have. It seems to be the start of a theme that the CMA are baring their teeth a little bit more in terms of these deals. I know that Figma and Adobe is now under analysis as well. And it is a surprise. I don't know if I feel whether it's a bad surprise or a good surprise. Taken aback that it hasn't been allowed to go through. Amused by the Activision response that the UK as a country needs this deal, which really made me smile. But it's just more interesting more widely about what it means, and as a flex from the CMA about what they can actually achieve.
Kieran, what do you think? Are you surprised by the CMA's decision at all?
I suppose I was a little bit surprised. I was more surprised about the reaction from Microsoft. It was a bit over the top, like a drama queen reaction. Oh no, UK is not fit for purpose, blah, 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 blah. Says one of the biggest monopolies in the world. The monopoly that everybody's forgot. Microsoft is a massive monopoly. Let's not forget that. And I think the CMA is within their rights to block deals that they think is going to be bad for the market, bad for consumers, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't make a difference either way to me. I don't care. But I think the CMA is well within its rights to block it. And I think, like, it's like, given the merits of the case, that, you know, you could argue for and you could argue against. I don't think making Microsoft any more powerful is a good thing. I think they're treading fine war as it is, like, treading war in terms of, like, not being perceived as a massive monopoly. They'll argue that, you know, we're not a monopoly in cloud gaming, but, you know, they have now got another couple of big titles. They could have got big titles. And then probably the most important was they got a big chunk out of, like, the mobile gaming market. That's really what they wanted, like. But that just increases their ad business, like, you know what I mean? You know, Microsoft is soon to be a $20 billion ad business, which is huge. Just takes another chunk of money out of the ecosystem. So, in a way, I'm kind of happy about it. You know, Microsoft are not an active player in the space in terms of, like, you know, they tend to not in the space, but they are in the space. You think about their ad business, they've got LinkedIn, and they've got, they're soon to take a chunk of search market from them. The really interesting thing about Microsoft, I heard this, like, through the grapevine a couple of days ago, the Google Apple deal is up for grabs the minute, the search deal, and it could go to Apple because of the ChatGPT stuff. So that would make it very interesting in the search business if that happened. More people are inclined to give Bing a chance now that ChatGPT has become part of the core part of the platform. So, you know, Microsoft doesn't need any more assistance from people. So the CMA has every right to do what they did. And to John's point, it's very interesting that they've got more aggressive in what they do. I think since the tumultuous breakup with Europe, you know, sort of like the great teenage split between the two, CMA seems to have got a wind in the sails. They have a very interesting CEO. I think, I can't remember her name. She's quite an interesting lady, sort of self-facing, but you don't mess with that woman. But it looks like she's well capable of taking big corporations on. So I could see more of these deals happening. And in a way, it's good to see the regulators with some claws, exposed claws, you know, puts the manners on companies. We don't need Microsoft and Google and Meta and Amazon getting any stronger. These and Apple, they take too much money out of the ecosystem as it is. It's really, really, really dangerous to have all that wealth concentrated in five companies. They're overweight in terms of the advertising money they pull from the ecosystem. They're overweight in terms of all the money that's invested in the stock markets. I think it's a dangerous game to play to keep making these companies powerful. So I'm all for it. I like to break the whole lot of them up. And I said, break every one of them up. Let's not stop Activision Blizzard. Let's go all in. Take a hatchet and a chainsaw to all of them.
Staying on the topic of the UK, seems to be the first. There are a few markets that have already approved the deal: Saudi Arabia, Brazil, and Chile. And the UK, the CMA, is the first to say no. Do you think?
I mean,
that
Saudi Arabia and Chile are, you know, superpowers in terms of digital, like, you know.
Sure.
But I don't even know if the Europeans have decided on where. On whether or not it goes through, but, you know, look, good luck to the plucky UK there for standing up for the rights of consumers and the industry as a whole. More power to them.
Do you think that other markets could follow, or would they be more inclined to approve?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure where it is with the EU. I thought the EU were going to pass it. The US is, I don't know what the US is doing. So it's very, very hard to see how this deal can go ahead when the CMA says you can't operate in one of the biggest markets in the world. So I think the deal's scuppered. Interesting that Figma deal might be out the window as well. That's interesting. But here's the thing, Hi. A lot of these M&A deals, these sort of marquee M&A deals, they're never really good for shareholders. So it's interesting that the stock and boat companies went up after this news was announced. Like, so Adobe's up because the shareholders going, well, this deal might go south. Might impact revenue and profit for the next couple of quarters, and is it strategically a deal? Like, sometimes these deals go south in terms of like founders, in terms of integrations. You know, the Slack deal wasn't the best deal for Salesforce when they bought it, because basically Microsoft, and who obviously is the subject of this conversation, bundled Teams in for free. They bundled a load of stuff and made it like part of the Microsoft platform, which in itself killed Slack's sort of like TAM, so a total addressable market. So I don't think this is a bad thing for everybody. Like, you know, shareholders are happy, consumers are happy. The only people who don't seem to be happy is the one person in particular is the Microsoft CEO, who described, I think, in the paraphrase, of describing the UK as a business backwater, and the world will end because Microsoft didn't get the way. It's like a little kid who didn't get a lolly, just throwing their toys out of the pram, basically.
Focusing back on the CMA's ruling, which focused in on put a lot of emphasis on protecting competition in cloud gaming. Do you think, I'll come to you first, John, do you think that this ruling will actually protect competition in cloud gaming?
Yeah, I think short term, yeah, we'll see what the appeals say. But I think one of the main things that the CMA noted was that these deals could standardize the terms and conditions on which games are available, and that's a dangerous place. You know, Kieran, you've talked about the monopoly and Microsoft being the silent monopoly that seems to just have everything in the background. But we're looking at a place, it could end up in a place like record labels ended up when there was five major labels, then four, then three through mergers, and everything was priced the same and competition didn't exist. And yeah, that kind of standardization is something that should be avoided.
It's a slow roll, hey.
Yeah.
It's insidious. It's a slow roll. Look at where we are now in digital. Like, look at those companies who have stranglehold over the whole ecosystem. Like, so that's not good. But there's so much regulation coming in now that these companies are going to find it more difficult to do M&A this size. Now, I heard a load of bullshit from some VC going, oh, it's not fair. Who are you going to sell our companies to? Like, that is a nonsensical conversation to have. Because those companies are strangling the market that these companies, realistically, some of these VC-backed companies should be going public and should be like they should be competing with Microsoft and Google for share. So I'm a capitalist at heart. I don't think this is capitalism. This is like concentration of power and wealth. It's bordering cronyism. So Microsoft can make arguments all day, but they're about to take out one of the biggest players in the gaming sector. And I think the CMA has done everybody a favour.
And on that note, I'll take us on to our final story of the week, which is that the Advertising Association, AA, and WARC have downgraded their forecast for UK ad spend in 2023, lowering it from 3.8% at the start of the year to just 0.5%. Despite ad spend growing a positive 26% in the first half of 2022, the AA WARC's latest expenditure report found that investment slowed in the latter 6 months, resulting in overall growth of 8.8% for the year. Search and social media advertising both saw declines, and online advertising also saw spend fall 5.4% in the second half of 2022, despite an encouraging 30% growth in the first half. Broadcaster video on demand, cinema, and out of home were the only channels who saw ad spend increase in Q4 last year. The findings suggest that the UK will see the slowest growth among the world's top 10 ad markets. So, Kieran, I'll come to you first on this. How do these findings compare to those from other reports, such as the IAB's Digital Ad Spend 2022 report?
So it's probably a symptom of the current sort of economic climate. I would say that a softening spend suggests to me that the winds are sort of like not in the sails of sort of economic growth. It's interesting that like out of home, and video on demand has gone up, and cinema as well. Well, I expect cinema to go up. Like, I had a horrible year last year or the year before. So, I mean, that's stellar growth. And I'm out of home as well, because nobody was out bloody watching billboards, et cetera. So maybe that's sort of like an anomaly in the numbers. Like, search and social is down. Maybe it's a sort of like hangover from sort of like economic, like the economy in the UK is pretty flat. I don't think we're technically in a recession, but it's pretty much flat. And I think that's reflected in these numbers. So, you know, but there is still a growth. I mean, like, there's growth in sort of retail media and other sort of categories that they're not really noticing here. Like, so, I mean, I think there is opportunity to grow. But I think this is an economic story rather than a state of the industry story.
John, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a couple of different reports coming away with different headlines recently. You know, we're talking about the lowering of the forecasts for marketing budgets, but the IPA bellwether has recorded the biggest rise in potential spend in the last year. It's up 8.2% for this quarter. So it's difficult to know really what that means, apart from, you know, as Kieran said, that we are in a fairly flat economy at the moment, and people are proceeding with at best caution. But yeah, no, it's interesting to see the different reports throwing up a few different statistics.
Sure. Sticking with you, John, how do you see marketers managing with tighter budgets at the moment?
Cautiously, again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's the different schools of thought on whether it's time to invest and spend through it and use a lull in the market to carve a niche for yourself, or whether it's really about holding back now and really assessing where we are. So I'd say, yeah, it's just like a prevailing air of caution still from on the marketing side of things.
I mean, we can all go anecdotal evidence as well. I mean, people we speak to, like, said that Q1 was pretty soft, Q2 has improved, and there's a lot more spend for the rest of the year. So maybe these reports come at a time when they take the temperature, but they're not always spot on in terms of sort of like the predictions. I mean, it's very easy to talk about in the current climate to say that spend will be down. I think Google's numbers last time they were up, but YouTube was down, which was quite interesting year on year. That's an interesting one for me. I don't know what's going on there. But Meta obviously had a brilliant quarter, mostly off the back of Chinese spend. So, you know, there are pockets of spend that are coming always in digital, like, you know what I mean? It's hard to kind of like get a sense of these, you know, sense from these reports where we are at the market, like. So I doubt that's going to change brands, because, like, year on year, the agency spend is, agency revenues are up. So, you know, they seem to be holding tight. Maybe it's the mid to long tail that's kind of getting squeezed, sort of like the mom and pop shops. But then you can make the argument that they were not spending with Meta because of ATT, sort of Apple's sort of privacy piece. So, you know, I think that the fat tail is okay, which is what most of the agencies, holding groups in the agencies kind of represent. Mid to long tail, I think, is struggling a little bit, not like overly struggling, but struggling, and that's probably reflected in these numbers. That would be my takeaway. But then, like, Q3 and Q4 could be stellar. We don't know. You know, everybody's talking about how the UK economy is in the doldrums, but it's still holding up, and you know, it could easily sort of rebound in the next couple of quarters, like, so. Look, I say to listeners, just stay positive, right? You know, spend is coming, and there's loads of opportunity in the space. Digital always do well as transition happens. Like, so it is interesting that TV spend is down, traditional TV spend is down, and maybe that's a symptom of the change in dynamics of the TV market, and that brands are demanding more bang for their buck, more data-driven, better attribution, better management, measurement, better targeting. So, you know, maybe there's a transition piece happening here as well. But I think these numbers reflect a weakness in the mid to long tail and more resilience in the fat tail.
So your kind of message to marketers is to stay positive. John, what would be, how do you think the industry should be responding to this forecast and other reports at the moment?
I don't know how how the response will be. I think, as I've said, like, they'll respond cautiously. It's interesting to know how, whether plowing through is the way forward. And
spend more,
keep spending. I think I've just read the quote from Activision about the merger deal, and maybe that's got some hints for us. So the report's conclusions are a disservice to UK citizens who face increasingly dire economic prospects. that links our two
what
stories.
What a load of nonsense. That's like hyperbole. That's just crazy, like, talk. I mean, there's such sour grapes. Just because they didn't get their big payoff, they're all angry. Like, it's nonsense.
They will damage the whole country that this deal did.
I mean, just because Call of Duty is not in the hands of Google and Candy Crush, oh my God, the end is nigh for the British economy.
Absolutely. I'm sure we could talk about CMA sour grapes for the rest of the day, but that does take us to the end of this week's Mad Tech podcast. Kieran, John, thank you so much for joining this week.
Thanks,
as always. Thank you. And thanks very much for listening. See you next time.